السلام على رسول الله أما بعد وأنا كيف تدين إزا الرجوع أو تبقين مدفرس ذاوتك last week and continue on inshallah. The first thing we took about the verses in Surah Al-Ahzab is the terms. The first term we took was Ittaqillah. Ittaqillah means, what does it mean, Rabban? Fear Allah, basically. The next term we took is kafirun. Kafirin. What's the four kinds of kufr that we took last week? By the way, Sa'in, what does a kafir mean? Someone that's not a Muslim. I seen your post on Clear Guidance. I seen what you said, actually. We benefited from that. Some people claim that to be a kafir means to cover up, to get the message and deny it. The meaning of a kafir, literally, the meaning of a kafir, yes, is to hide. A kafir is to hide. That's the literal meaning. But in Islam, we don't take everything by its literal meaning. Some of the things like salah. What's the literal meaning of salah? What's the literal meaning of salah? The literal. Salah. Du'a. It means to make du'a. Christians say, "Salli for me," means pray for me. Arabic Christians say, "Salli for me," means pray for me. However, the meaning that the Ummah united upon is salah means this, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Same with a kafir. A kafir is someone who covers things up. That's the literal meaning of it. However, the Islamic meaning of it is someone who's not a Muslim. You're not a Muslim, you're a kafir. And we said there's four kind of kufr. The first one is kufr of denial, which is like the atheist who deny the existence of Allah. The second kufr is kufr al-jihad, which is the ones who believe in the heart but deny it by their tongue. And who's an example of that? They believe in Allah by their heart but deny it by their tongue. Who's an example? Okay, and Iblis, the devil. The third one is kufr al-inad, and that's the stubborn kind of kufr. And that means to approve it in your heart, in your tongue as well, but not to submit. Who is that? Fir'aun. Jahl. Abu Jahl, who claimed that he believed in the Prophet ﷺ and believed that the Prophet ﷺ was saying, speaking the truth. However, he didn't want it because of envy and jealousy. The last one is Kufr al-Nifaq. Kufr al-Nifaq means the hypocrites. That's to hide something in your heart, which is kufr, and to say in your tongue that you're a believer. So, اتق الله and كافرون, the next term is منافقون, and that's to hide something in your heart and say something else in your tongue. The next one is وكيلة. وكيلة means sustainer, the one who guarantees everything you need that will come to you, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the meaning of tazaharun? The next term, tazaharun. What is it? Not a form of divorce, but a form of separation, a man from his wife by saying, you are to me like my mother is to me. It's the worst form of divorce they used to use in Jahiliyyah. Ad'iyyakum. Ad'iyyakum. Your plain sense. Upset. Huh? Justice. Okay, before. Forgiver, the all-forgiver, Rahim. Okay. What's the reason for the revelation of these verses? What's the reason of revelation? Why did Allah reveal, Messenger of Allah, do not listen to the hypocrites and the non-Muslim and the kafir? Why? What's his name? Jamil ibn Muhammad. What did he do? He used to claim until the battle of Badr, he claimed he had two hearts in his heart because he used to memorize everything, and it became a widespread trend that everyone who is smart has two hearts. So one time, Abu Sufyan found him with a shoe in his foot and a shoe in his hand. He's running away from the battle. And Abu Sufyan told him, "What are you doing? Why do you have one shoe in your hand?" He said, "Oh, I didn't even realize that." So it became known that he's a liar. If you had two hearts, you would have known you got a shoe in your hand. But he was a liar, and Allah said, "That's a lie." Why did Allah reveal that those who you claim are your kids by adoption are not really your kids? What was the reason of revelation? Zayd ibn Harith, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Zaynab bin Jahsh, who was the ex-wife of Zaynab bin Harith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by the hypocrite saying, "Oh, you marry your son's daughter? That's not right. Islamically, if I get divorced, my father can never ever marry my wife, my ex-wife, never. She becomes haram ana upon him until the judgment day. The same with your mother-in-law. You supposedly have the aqid on a woman, and your mother, I'm sorry, a son-in-law, the mother-in-law and a son-in-law become mahram forever. He becomes like a son forever, even if there's a divorce. So Adam gets married to someone, and inshallah, God forbid, he divorces that someone. That woman's mother is like Adam's mother forever, even though there's a divorce. The same with the wife as well. Like my wife, she, even if I get a divorce, my father can sit with her as though she's his daughter forever and ever." So the Prophet ﷺ married his, supposedly his daughter, his son's wife or ex-wife. So the hypocrites began to mock him and take that as a point against him. Allah says, "وَمَا جَعَلَ أَدْعِيَاكُمْ The ones you claim are your sons, like they are not really your sons. And Allah makes the reason of the reverse, ادعوهم لآبائهم Call them unto their fathers. What's the reason of Muhammad until this verse was revealed, they started calling him Zayd ibn Haritha. Okay, the first lesson we took, these are all the terms. The terms, the reason for revelation, the lessons we take from these verses. The first one is Allah calls the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Ayyuhan Nabi. Why did he do that? We took many reasons why he did that. First one, Malish, help us out. To show us respect, don't call the Prophet Muhammad. Come here, Muhammad. You say, oh, you messenger of Allah. If Allah calls him that, you call him something better than that, or something similar to that. Second reason, now, show the honor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Third reason, show how he's supreme over all other messengers. Every other messenger in the Quran, Ya Dawood, Ya Ibrahim, Ya Musa, Ya Isa. When it comes to the Prophet, all you messenger of Allah, all you prophet, all you messenger. Always like that. When is the only time you find Muhammad in the Quran? By his name. There's only one rule to it. When's the rule? That he's mentioned 2 or 3 times in the Quran, 2 by Muhammad, 1 by Ahmad. When is he only mentioned by his name? When Allah wants to give an affirmative statement, Muhammad is the messenger. That's the only time. If he calls him or tells him to do something, it's all you messenger of Allah, all you prophet of Allah. However, when he tells him that he's the messenger of Allah, he says Muhammad by his name, so no smart aleck will come later and centuries and say, oh, it's probably someone else, not the Muhammad, that he means this, because the terms are vague. That's the first lesson. The second one is, why would Allah call the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tell him, all you prophet of Allah, fear Allah? If he's already fearing Allah, why would Allah tell him fear Allah? I told you Orientals use this against us. What's the reply? Malish, help us out. Stay on the path of taqwa. Second one is, keep escalating. Taqwa doesn't remain at the same level. Keep going up in your taqwa. And that's وانت مرقعة فرقعة اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. ايه انك دارس في دوائك تاس؟ Are we really not on the right path? We're on the right path. When we say that Allah got us to the right path, means Allah keep us on the right path, keep us going and escalating in our faith and belief in that right path. Another opinion is that some scholars said this is directed to the Ummah. Allah's talking to the Prophet, but it's directed to the Ummah. Okay, that's where we stopped off. The third lesson we take is that Allah said in the Quran,
this is a lie as
well, all three of them are mice. The next lesson, which is the fourth one, right? This is the third one. The fourth one is, أَمَّسَرًا بِالْقُرْآنِ ذَلِكُمْ قَوْلُكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ. That's your saying on your tongue. What does that mean? That means all these things are merely, like you say, you know, if a university has laws and regulations, and no one really abides by them. They say, you know, you can't come to school in shorts. And everyone comes to school in shorts. What do we really say about that statue or that regulation of the school? It's just ink on paper. It's nothing. That's exactly what Allah says. ذَلِكُمْ قَوْلُكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ. That's merely saying stuff on your tongue. Has absolutely no truth to it. It has no truth to it to say that your son by adoption is your son. It has no truth to it to say your mother and your wife is like your mother. It has absolutely no truth to it to say that you have two hearts. That's only merely saying stuff that's on your tongue with absolutely no truth to it. The next, the fifth one, is ذَلِكُمْ أَقْسَطُ. أَقْسَطُ, what do we say means? So what's the justice? What's the justice that we're talking about here? The justice we're talking about here is the ruling from Allah that it's just from Allah that a man can have another man and claim he's his son. That's unjust. The justice that's abolished. No man can claim a wife is like his mother. The justice is that's abolished. No man can claim he has two hearts in his chest. The justice is that's abolished. These are five unique lessons of the way these verses are worded. Now we go to the next point that you have in the outline, and that's the ahkam of the verses. The halal haram, the practical things that matter to us. The first point we take under there, under the ahkam, the ahkam of the verses, is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam able to do mistakes? Does he make mistakes in his lifetime, or is a mistake in his, absolutely in his lifetime at all? What would be the answer to that question? Does he? You sure? Saeed, you know. You guys know from the last class. So don't act smart. As man, why don't you tell us? Huh? The Prophet ﷺ does make mistakes. He makes mistakes in worldly matters, this life's matters. Like what? One time they came to him and they say our trees are dying. The trees that they grow on are dying. So the Prophet ﷺ made a suggestion to them what to do to them. I think it was, I'm not sure, was to trim the leaves of the trees. And that would help them nourish and grow. They did that. They came back, they said, oh Prophet, they're dying worse than before now. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you are more knowledgeable in the matters of this life. أنتم أعلم بأمور دنياكم. So can you make mistakes in matters of this life? Matters that don't concern revelation? Yes, he can make mistakes in that issue. Can he make mistakes in revelation? The answer to that is yes, with a restriction. He makes mistakes in revelation to teach us. That's the only time he makes mistakes. Other than that, nothing the Prophet ﷺ is in error. If he made a mistake in revelation, it's a mistake that Allah wanted him to make because there's a benefit to come out of it. And the best example on that is when the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, you know the story of the blind man, Abbas al-Tawanna. Some people say it's a worldly matter and manners, and some say it's a revelation matter of how to be a da'iyah. Either way, the Prophet ﷺ made a mistake, Allah reprimanded him and corrected him. The second one, another important one, is the Prophet ﷺ one time he prayed the Asr 2 rak'ahs. And he made Salaam alaikum. And everyone behind him was amazed. Our Salah now is half. You know, because if the Prophet did it, that's it. It becomes the trend forever. So a man called Bin Yadayn, the man with long arms, he had long arms. You know, Bin Yadayn means the one with long arms. I heard that hadith when I was a young kid in Medina, Bin Yadayn, and my father had a colleague of his who had 2 fingers coming out of each arm. Just 2 fingers, that's it, he didn't have no arms. So I used to use Bin Yadayn, and I call him Bin Yadayn. And you would laugh about it. I long hands longer than the hands of the rest of the Sahaba. Anyways, Ibn Adin approaches the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, O Prophet of Allah, did the Salah, look how he questions him, did the Salah become less? Is it half now? Or did you forget? Look how manner, look at the manners. If it was me, I'd say, hey Prophet, you made a mistake. Hey Muhammad, you made a mistake. Now look at the manner. Hey Prophet of Allah, did the Salah become shorter? Or did you make a mistake? The Prophet said, it neither became shorter, nor did I make a mistake. Yet forgotten, neither of the two. She said, no, it had to be one of the two. Has to be one of the two. So the Prophet looks back and says, is Ibn Adin saying the truth? They said, yes, O Prophet of Allah, he's saying the two in the prayed two. He got up and prayed two more, and we prayed, sajda to sell the two sajdas, we made before we say, Salaamu Alaikum Rahmatullah, Salaamu Alaikum Rahmatullah. What did we get out of this? Nearly all of us, you know, in our lifetime have to make a mistake in our prayer. What are we going to do? Had the Prophet not made this mistake, what are we going to do? What's the solution to it? The Prophet ﷺ in practice taught us that. So the Prophet ﷺ makes mistakes in worldly matters. He makes mistakes in revelation with the restriction that these mistakes were made on purpose and Allah's gonna correct them. They're made on purpose. He clearly said it. Yes, Arthur.
You know,
we're gonna have a final over there, right? We're gonna have a test, so you better know how to answer these questions. The second one is the half-hour.
Really want to shoot. It is not.
one of the three divorces. Is it haram? Yes, it's haram. Why is it haram? All these three things, the Quran came to abolish them. All three of them are haram. It's not a divorce, it's haram. What if someone says this to his wife? What happens? Someone tells his wife, you are to me like my mother. What does he do? And when the Quran gives the solution to that, in Surah Al-Mujadala, in Surah Al-Mujadala, the first few verses, and actually let me tell you the reasons behind those verses. A woman came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She's an older woman, and she said, O Prophet of Allah, I was with my husband all his life, and during his life I served him, I raised his kids, I did everything he wanted. When my boys became fragile, when I wasn't as beautiful as I was in the old days, he came up to me and he said, you're like my mother to me. And what's the solution to that? And she was, you know, in distress and worry, because back in Germany, if you say that, that's it. They have the rules. If you say in Jahiliya, that's it. So she came in the shah, that's it. We're done with. That's end of us. And she's whispering to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Aisha, if you know, if you ever been to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid, and you see the Prophet's house, it's a very small room. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house is a very small room. So, she's sitting there. Salaam alaykum Abdullah. Nice to see you, man. She's sitting in a small room. And the woman is there, the Prophet is there, and Aisha is near them. And Aisha wants to hear what's going on, and she can't hear it, because the woman is whispering to the Prophet. And as soon as Allah heard, of course Allah heard that, without Aisha hearing it, Allah revealed the first three verses of Surah Al-Mujadala. The first verses there, Allah heard that woman who came to you complaining about her husband, وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَوِّرَكُمَا. Allah heard the conversation between you two. وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah is the all-hearing, the all-knowledgeable. قَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ. What's the solution? قَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ تَحِلَّةً. There's a solution to it. Allah says, what's the solution to it? The first thing is, you gotta free a slave. What if you can't free a slave or if it's not available? 2 months in a row. One of the few things in Islam, just like having a sexual relationship with a wife in Ramadan. To teach you a lesson not to do that again, and to, you know, it's not easy. 60 days in a row, if you fasted 48 days, and then the 49 day you got sick or you couldn't, you gotta start all over again. You gotta start all over again. It's not easy. I'm the one who, why? So you won't see that again. You think, oh, I gotta do that. I'm not gonna say that. It's not worth it. 60 days. Okay? If you can't do it 60 days, you get it. If you can't fast 60 days, you feed a meal per day, 60 meals, in order to compensate for that. If you do that, and you repent to Allah, she becomes your wife, and that's it. That's the kafara. That's the kafara for zihar. So if someone asks you the kafara for zihar, you need to free a slave, fast 60 days, or pay in compensation for 60 poor people. Yes. If you do it 100 times, it's not a divorce. She can come back to you if you do this kafara that we talked about. You can do it 100 times, but you get sin? Why? Islam came to abolish all these. These are trends of Jahiliyyah. Islam came to abolish them. Okay, in the verses that we take in, the last verse, the 5th verse, Allah says, there's no sin upon you in that which you err in, and there is a sin upon you in that which you knowingly make a mistake in. What does Allah mean by mistake and by on purpose? So Allah's saying, if you make a mistake, there's no sin upon you for doing that. If you do it on purpose, there is a sin upon you. There's two opinions. Mujahid, the great professor, says that the mistake that means in this verse is, if you do any of this before it became prohibited, that's the mistake. No problem with that. If you do it after it became prohibited, then you get the sin upon you, meaning if you go right now and adopt after Allah made it haram, then that's what's you do on purpose. So the mistake is what was prior to it being haram, and the purpose is doing it after it became haram. whether it's prior to Revelation or after. Right now, if I say Syed, Ibn Abdul, his name is Syed Ibn Mansur. Right? If I say Syed, the son of Abdullah, I think that's his name. Now that's a big sin. But if I say mistakenly, no problem. Whether it's prior to Revelation or after, on purpose is for me to know his name is Syed Ibn Mansur, and me on purpose calling him, because I hate his father, your name is Syed Ibn Abdullah. Or to tell other people that. And the same thing is the heart. Same thing with two hearts. Not knowing me. Someone not knowing me, the Quran prohibited that. Inshallah, Allah will not give them the mistake. But after knowing that Allah prohibited it, then you cannot make such you cannot do such a thing. So that's number three. What's this thing?
Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith,
actually the hadith applies to Hajj. They were storming before Zuhr. When you go storm the devil, which they're going to be doing in a few days in Hajj, you're supposed to do it after the Zuhr. So the Prophet ﷺ gathered them and they were young, said, "Oh my children, are these children? They're out of respect, you know, mutual respect between the two." The Prophet ﷺ one time told, Anas ibn Malik, he said, "Oh my son," he said, "come here, oh my son." And is Anas his son? Not at all. No blood relationship. But meaning, "oh my son," meaning out of respect, mutual respect between the two. And how about brother? Allah said in the Quran, "Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa." Muslims are brothers of each other. So if I say my brother, my sister, we all know what you're saying. But if you do it to imply he's your blood brother in any way, that's when it becomes haram. But to generally say, "my brother, my sister, no one is that," or "my benign one, my benign one," then that's fine. What do I mean when I say, "you're my benign brother"? Meaning the loyalty of Islam that's between us. Because we said there's loyalty in family relationship. But when I say my benign one, I mean the loyalty that we have in Islam. And in these verses, verse number 5, Allah said, that's additional proof. Allah said in verse number 5, "if you don't know who their fathers are, call them." If you don't know who their fathers are, call them by فَإِخْوَانَكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَمَوَالِيكُمْ. إِخْوَانَكُمْ مِنْ you don't know who his father is, because a lot of them were, you know, they didn't know their fathers. So, how would you call my brother, my benign one? My brother, my benign one. So the point is, yes, you can call someone my son, you can call someone my daughter. If there's a 60-year-old man, 50-year-old man, he says, "oh my daughter, if you can do this for me," and he really means out of respect, the Prophet ﷺ did that. I could say my brother, my sister, because Allah said in the Quran, Muslims are brothers of each other, and also the Prophet ﷺ has done this, so have the Sahaba. The next point, yes. That's my next point, actually. The last one, can you adopt an Islam? The fifth one, Can you adopt an Islam? The general rule is yes, but not the Jahiliya kind of adoption. I can adopt 10 people from Africa, or from Lebanon, or from Kosovo, or from those countries that, you know, they need help, I can bring them, either in my house, take care of them, and they can stay in my house and I overlook them, or in their countries where they're from, I can finance their living. There's no problem at all with that. The problem is, I can never attribute them to me. Just because I adopt someone in another country and I take care of them, I can call them so-and-so, the son of Ahmed. That's haram. The Prophet said, look how dangerous that is. And a lot of people do that. The Prophet says, whoever attributes himself to other than his father and his family, may the curse of Allah and the angels and the people befall on him, Allah will not accept from him repentance nor compensation. Look how dangerous that is. Look how dangerous that is. To go around and change your name, to go around and adopt someone, Allah, the Prophet said, may the curse of Allah, the Prophet and the angel and the people fall upon him, Allah will not accept from him compensation or repentance. Another hadith, the Prophet said, all these are authentic hadith. The hadith that I just mentioned is in Bukhari Muslim. This hadith, the Prophet says, whoever attributes himself to other than his own parents, and he knows it, he's a kafir. That's the Prophet said that. That's in Bukhari Muslim as well. Whoever attributes himself to other than his father, knowingly, he's a kafir. The third hadith, also in Bukhari Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu says, whoever attributes himself to other than his father, and he knows it, then Jannah's haram upon him. That's dangerous. So, the rule is, yes, you can adopt, but he must keep his name that he of his blood father. Now there's a situation like Firaz mentioned where people don't tell them that. There's, first of all, if they don't know who, because some adoption agency changed their name. And you go and adopt it, they change their name. You have really no control over it. There was a family in Dearborn about 15 years, actually 20 years ago, 20 years ago. The woman had a problem with one of her daughters. I think she left them in the bathtub, and he died. She went and answered the phone. She came back. He died. She had 3 other kids, and the other kids were taken away. She's Muslim. And for 15 to 20 years they've been fighting. It's a very popular case in Dearborn. They took them, you know about it? They took them and raised them. And they, for 15 years, were looking for them. They could not find them. And then later on, just I think last year, they united them because they were over 18. They united the whole families. What the adoption agencies over here do is they take them and change their name. Because if they keep their name, it's easy to find them. They take them and change their name, and they won't tell those who adopted them what their real name is. That really, you got no control over it. You keep the name they gave you. The sin or the curse will fall upon the adoption agency. That's the first thing. But let's assume you adopt someone. I know at one time someone who had a relationship with a woman and he got her pregnant. Haram relationship, and he complained, what am I going to do? So my father said, I will adopt him. Don't send him to adoption agency, I'll adopt him. Can I take him, my father take him, and raise him, and he's going to grow up thinking bad? That's bad. No, you can't. You have to let him know, I'm not your father. Your father is so-and-so. If you know the name of the father, if you don't know the name of the father, then you tell him that someone else is your father. And let him know about that. You must have to do that. Well, he should grow up knowing that. When? He should grow up knowing that. You cannot let him be fooled thinking you're the father. He should grow up knowing that someone else is his father. Because we don't want bastards for us. Right? We don't want people because there's a lot of things that are attributed. If I attribute myself, right now there's really not a big effect upon it. In a Muslim country, if I attribute myself to a millionaire, what happens when that millionaire dies? I inherit his money. If I give him a problem, if I have a problem, and I attribute myself to someone else, what happens when the problem comes? His whole family gotta help me and support me. That's called Aqidah in Islam. It still goes on today. Like if I drive in right now in Saudi and in Yemen, if you drive and you kill someone, they don't got insurance over there. What do? The whole tribe gathers together and everyone chips in. He's one of us, we chip in. So there's a lot of benefits to it if you attribute to yourself, I don't like this family. And the main thing is we want people one and all not knowing who the real father are. What is it? The family is acting as the blood money is deer. The deer, the Akina is the family. I don't mean immediate family, I mean the whole tribe. Like, what's your last name, Rabwan? Al-Mubrahi. It's a big family in Yemen. It's a big family. All the Mubrahis, which are hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands, they all gather and they have to pay each one of them a certain percentage to gather the amount that he owes. Yes. No, that's another thing. That's what I was just saying. You cannot, the adopted son cannot inherit from me. I adopt someone? No, I have the right to give him 1/3. When I die, I can write in my will 1/3 to whoever I want. And the 1/3 is haram for me to do anything with it. I cannot. Allah said in the Quran, everyone who gets a percentage, the brother gets this, the son gets this, the mother gets this, the father gets this, every single one gets a percentage. An adopted son does not get zero. But what he can get, if you want, you can write 1/3. You have the right under your control in your will to put 1/3. If I own $100, I can say, you know, when I die, 1/3 of that $100, whatever it is, $333 or whatever, goes to so-and-so. If I say $50, go to the charity in the mission. No. They only take 1/3 of it out. I have no control over. During my life, I have full control. I can write a check and give all my money away. But to put in my will, because a lot of people do this, why they used to do this in Jahiliyyah, to deprive a daughter, to deprive one of the wives they hated, so they give a lot of it to someone else. So the Prophet Simon said, As-thuluth wa-thuluthu kathir. 1/3 and 1/3 is too much. I mean, don't get over the 1/3. Okay, the last thing we're going to take in these chain of verses is the basic lessons that we learned. The gist of what we learned. The first thing is the order to fear Allah. The second Allah and turn to Him and subduing yourself to Allah and submitting yourself to Allah. Basically, to turn to Allah. وتوكل على الله. The third thing is that Islam came to abolish all the traditions of Jahiliyyah. And I was sitting the other day at a funeral and someone, you know, he thinks he's all that smart and about Islam and he's talking. And he said, I don't know what Islam calls the old time before Islam, Jahiliyyah. You know, he says we should be proud of our ancestors. Look at the stupid things they do. You know, I told him, you'll be proud of the Jahiliyyah we had. He said, we're Arabic people. We should be proud of the time before the Prophet ﷺ. I said, what are we going to be proud of? I mentioned to him one example, which is what they've been at, killing a woman. He said, no, that's honorary thing that they did. Because why they killed the number of guys who took care of Fitbit for us? Why did they kill the first woman? You remember? One woman ran away from a famous tribe, and the leader of that tribe gathered with the other tribe and they made a deal to bring the woman back. When the deal went on, the woman said, I don't want to go back. I'm in love with the son of the leader over there. I want to stay with the other tribe. So the leader of that tribe said, this woman dishonored us. We're going to kill all the women that we have. So they began killing every single female they had. And then the trend went on. Had he said that alone, you know, it's not acceptable at all. But you could look at it in a different way. But what happened after that? All the Arabic tribes in the old Arabian Peninsula began killing all their infant daughters, and it wasn't for that reason. It wasn't for that reason. It was for the reason of the body. ولا تقتل أولادكم خشية أملاك. الله شرع في القرآن ولا تقتل أولادكم خشية أملاك. You will give them. You are the one who provides for them. So look at that. Killing of the daughters. Saying a man has two hearts. Look at these stupid things. Yeah, telling a wife, you like my mother? You know, that's stupid. Saying someone is not really your son, is your son? This is just to name a few of them. Muhammad ibn Abdullah, rahmatullah alayhi, has a book, and the things Islam came to be different from Jahiliyyah. He mentions, if I'm not mistaken, 132 things. And they're disgusting things. We got nothing to be proud of before the Prophet Sallallahu came from. If we have only what the Prophet Sallallahu came, what was before. for the person in my sinner, all we would do is put our faces in the dirt and walk around in shame. Because the things they used to do, the kinds of adultery they used to have before the Prophet ﷺ died, we don't even have it now. As filthy as this country is, and Europe is, and how open they are, a man would tell his wife, a general, adultery that they had back then, was a man would tell his wife, he's a leader of a tribe, or he's handsome looking, go sleep with him. This is popular. Are we going to be happy with something like that, just because they were Arabic people that did that? That's a shame. That's a shame. And it's a shame for all the Arabic people. We have one thing like the Sahabi said when he stood to Rustam, Rabi'i ibn Amr, he said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَا أَنْسَارٍ. It was Umar who said that. Umar, when he went to take Palestine, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَا اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Your people, you were honored with Islam, not with our Arabic past or Jahiliyyah. فمهما ابتغينا العزة بغير الإسلام, if we seek any honor by other than Islam, Allah will make us the new ones. Okay. The next point, what point are we on of the summary? The fourth point. Anyone who claims he has two hearts is a liar. Islam came to abolish that form of Jahiliyyah. The fifth point. Anyone who claims believing a wife could be like a mother in your relationship is mockery and prohibited and haram in Islam. The sixth one, it's haram to adopt by attributing the one you adopt to yourself. However, you can adopt as a caretaker with him keeping his family name. The next point, seven, it's permissible to call someone my brother, or my beloved one, or my son, out of respect, or the brotherhood of Islam, or the loyalty of Islam. It's haram to do that if you mean to hint anything like a blood son who's not really a son, or a blood relative, he's not a blood brother, he's not really your brother. The last point, Allah does not take people by that which they do mistakenly, but He only judges them and takes them by that which they do on purpose and intentionally. one is the honor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ninth one is the honor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Allah calls him, Ya ayyuha al-Nabi, Ya ayyuha al-Rasul. And by the way, this is a lesson not only the Prophet ﷺ, you learn from this a lesson that you honor any respectable person that you have around you, like your parents. Allah said in the Quran, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا is be sweet in talking to your parents. The meaning of this is not sweet when you talk to them. That's one of the means of, you know, Father, I'm going to this, or don't nudge at them, don't yell at them. It really means that don't call them, you know, your father's name is Musa, don't call him Musa, come over here. You see, my father, my beloved father, something that's popular in the some countries, they, you know, they call him other than father, you know. I know some Arabic people, they call him Hajj, right? Hajj. They believe that it's more respectable to call your father Hajj than it is to call that. Anything that means respect to the parents, you should call them by that. That's what Allah means when he says, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. The tenth lesson that we learn, messengers cannot make mistakes in revelation. When they do make mistakes in revelation, it's part of revelation to teach us. That's all we're going to think about these verses. I was going to start the next verse, but maybe it's better to give you guys a break. This is some intensive information. And you know, when I get a, when we take a final, you know, I don't mess around. Any questions? General questions? Inshallah. Any questions, guys? Go ahead.
They don't have to know about it.
If you you know, you go pray at the end. You don't have to tell me, my father, I'm going to pray at the end. If you go pray at the end and come back and he doesn't notice, it's no problem. However, it's not right for you to get him angry or mad at you. If they pray, and they're good people, and they say, you know, it's tough upon you, it's hot summer days, and we want you to work, then they may be able to listen to them. You may be, because he'll get the idea. Just like a husband telling his wife. So a husband tells his wife, I don't want you fasting these 10 days, she has to listen to him. Will she get the idea? Of course she's going to get the idea if her intention was to do it. If your parents tell you that, and they really have, they're not evil, then I think you should listen to them. They have some valid points, or for some reason they want you to, then maybe you should. If they don't pray, I don't think you should listen to them in this kind of matter. I don't think you should listen to them in that kind of matter, because they're not only Kafir, they're apostates. The ones who doesn't pray are apostates, Murtadeen. They leave Islam. So they're evil. I mean, the evilest kind of people we have of the Muslims are the ones who leave the prayer. If they can't be trusted with the commands of Allah, they can't be trusted with anything other than that. No questions, no comments, additions. No scholarly additions. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.